Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. Okay, I get it. I promised you that I would go in extreme detail this week. So I promised last week that this week I would go into extreme detail about why China can't save the global economy again, any longer. So, I'm not going to do that. And I hate to break a promise, but I'm not really breaking my promise because I actually wrote about it in great detail. So all you have to do is go to my website and click on the navigation bar that says latest commentary to get that commentary, and you will learn in great detail why Wall Street can't and won't get another bailout from China. However, you know, I could read it to you today. Otherwise, the pod would be far too long. I mean, I guess I could do it, but why should I read it to you when it's there for you and you can peruse it at your leisure? And the reason why I put that on the back burner is because I have so much more to tell you about today relating to what events have occurred since the last time we were together. So before I get to that, let me go over some of the economic data points that I think are so salient and so important that you should know about. So you probably won't hear a lot of this about this on CNBC or Bloomberg, or maybe you might hear about it on Bloomberg. They're the best of the bunch, but certainly not on Fox News, business news. So let's get right into it. The federal government ran a budget deficit of $234 billion in the freaking month of February. Let me just let that sink in for a second. So, you know, prior to 2007, our annual deficits were a couple of hundred billion dollars. Now we are running $234 billion deficits in 1 month. That's the Treasury Department reported on Friday. That's not my estimate. That's the Treasury Department official report. That, by the way, that $234 billion in red ink in the deficit was the biggest monthly shortfall on record. Now, for the fiscal year to date, the deficit is up 39% compared to a year ago at this time. And all I can say to that is, wow, if you think things are normal, if you think things are great, hit rewind and listen to that, what I just told you again. But I continue. I want to be absolutely clear that even though we temporarily closed out our short hedge and are now only using gold as the primary buffer against the down market, there still awaits a major crash in the stock market ahead. And it's unavoidable in my humble opinion. And I'm going to talk about that in about a minute. But let me just get through a little bit more of the data points that I'm sure the mainstream financial media glosses over. Consumer confidence index dropped to 124.1 from 131.4 in February. That's what the conference board said on Tuesday. That's the second lowest rate in the last 12 months. We are heading for a recession. Housing starts fell 8.7% in February and remained well below the year-ago levels. Single-family home building tumbled 17% month over month. Also, building permits fell 1.6% month over month and was down 7% year over year in February. The percent drop in single family units under construction was the largest drop since February 2015. Of the points that I want to highlight, data points, I just want to say this one thing. Our dear president nominated Stephen Moore, who I know, to the Federal Reserve. Our commander-in-chief said Mr. Moore is a great candidate for the Federal Reserve. Now, Mr. Moore advocates for a 50 basis point rate cut in the Fed funds rate to occur immediately, and also wants to fire Mr. Powell immediately. Now, you can clearly see the direction of our central bank, where it's headed. It's headed back to 0% interest rates and quickly becoming a puppet of the White House. And that, sadly, is absolutely no different from every other central bank in the globe. They are all acting like those central bankers that are belonging to banana republics. Okay, now let me get into the meat and potatoes of why I had to scrap talking about China because of what an event that happened this week that is so important and so crucial. Actually, gives us a time frame as to when this whole thing is going to collapse. It's not a very, very broad time frame. So it actually is more in the way of specific as to when this whole thing's going to collapse. And that's why I say the fuse has been officially lit for the end of this global economic charade. And that fuse is called the yield curve. The yield curve dynamics made it official for the countdown to recession and economic collapse. So people ask me all the time, when is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? Well, history is very clear when the yield curve inverts, when it's going to happen. So I'm going to get into the details of that. The core of the problem has been and still is the fact that this entire stock market and economic construct remains totally artificial and extremely dangerous. Central banks have manipulated interest rates to the point that there are now $11 trillion worth of negative yielding sovereign debt in the world. Total debt levels are off the charts, along with asset prices being off the charts. And the important event, again, happened this week since the last time I talked to you. The yield curve inverted today, a couple of days ago, from T-bills through the 10-year note for the first time since 2007. So just so you get your head around that, short-term interest rates, T-bills, one-month, two-month, three-month T-bills, are offering a higher yield than the 10-year Treasury note, which, by the way, is collapsing in yield. So what, you might ask? Let me explain to you why this is so important. Banks and shadow banks stop lending money when the spread between what they pay on deposits, which are their liabilities, is practically non-existent to what they earn on loans, which are their assets. Makes sense, right? The incentive gets evaporated, goes away. Why are they going to lend money to a risky borrower on an asset that's probably going to declining when there's no margin? When margins are razor thin, banks only make loans that they are 100% sure will never default. So loan volume dries up. The incentive to take on risk evaporates. Of course, by creating less new money to fuel an over-leveraged economy that is plagued with asset bubbles, exacerbates the problem by causing asset prices to begin rolling over. We see that happening today. This soon completely shuts down the credit channel as banks don't want to hold loans that are unprofitable on assets that are falling in price. Therefore, in the inverted yield curve have the factor of inverted yield curves have preceded every recession since 1956. And 7 out of the last 7 times an inverted yield curve has occurred, and it just occurred last week, the economy has landed in a recession. 7 out of 7. That really matters because recessions are very damaging to the stock market. For example, in the last 2 recessions, the stock market plunged. And as our current president would say, big league. In 2000, the recession caused the NASDAQ to drop 80%. Of its value, and in 2008 recession, the S&P 500 lost 50% of its value. So the broader market gets crushed, and high beta stocks get almost completely wiped out. And here's a scarier thought, if you needed one. Since the BOJ, the Bank of Japan, and the European Central Bank, ECB, already have negative interest rate policies, and the BOJ is still in QE, what are the Japanese and Europeans going to do about their recessions that they're already in? In similar fashion, but to a lesser degree, what is the Fed going to do with only having 250 basis points to cut rates? That, by the way, is less than half the ammo historically needed to reduce borrowing costs to the level that turns around lending and boosts the economy and asset prices. The total market cap to GDP ratio is at 140% currently, which is 80 percentage points above the normal. This is the case at the cusp of an earnings recession that starts getting reported in a couple of days. We're just a couple of days away from the start of the Q1 earnings reporting season and their guidance for the Q2. The yield curve inversion presages a stock market collapse about 1 year in advance. So the yield curve inverts, a year later the stock market tops out within that 12 months, and then usually about 18 months, 16 to 18 months later, their official recession begins. Now, investors, and this is important, you won't hear this on CNBC, investors just cannot wait for the National Bureau of Economic Research, the NBER, which is the organization to official the organization put in charge to declare a recession has begun before they hit the sell button. That's because the NBER always officially declares that a recession began with a lag of multiple months. And as I said, the market sniffs out a recession, the start of a recession, months before it actually starts. So you have to have a model. This is so crucial. My model was built to capture when the recession is going to begin months in advance, so we can get out months before the recession begins, so we could probably, hopefully, get out right around the top. That's how the model was built to function. Now, Mr. Powell's three incremental moves to the dovish side, actually four incremental moves to the dovish side since just after Thanksgiving last year, have bought the stock market and economy a bit more time. After all, the fourth quarter of 2018 was going to be the start of the Great Depression Part 2. My model called for it. We got out ahead in time, and we were making money on the downside. But Mr. Powell, by moving dovish four times, has bought the market a little more time. But I'm not exaggerating when I say that the start of the Great Depression Part 2 was beginning in the fourth quarter. The Russell 2000, here's why. Here's the facts. The Russell 2000, one of the most broadest market indicators, crashed by 30% in just a few months. And the junk bond market issued zero new bonds during the entire fourth quarter. Without the ability to refinance existing debt, two-thirds of the $9 trillion corporate bond market would implode. If that continued for a few more months, the stock market would have crashed by close to 80%, according to my calculations, based on its value in relation to the current level of GDP. This would all be occurring as the unemployment rate spiked to double digits. Unfortunately, this is still ahead of us, and that is why it has become absolutely necessary and mandatory to have an active management strategy that is aware of this dynamic between inflation, deflation, and growth, and also to protect and profit from both of these economic cycles. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.